Don't miss a minute of Ruined Dits for breakfast on the Catch Up podcast. For Adelaide Tools, with 5 locations, Paraka, Lonsdale, St Mary's, Gawler and Mile End. Or go online at adelaidetools.com.au.
Oh, indeed. Hello, Roo. Oh, gee, that's a croaky start, isn't it?
Yeah. Dits, how are you today? You good?
Pardon me. I'm good, thank you.
Fantastic.
How was your weekend?
I had a good weekend. I was in Melbourne for a majority of it. Was over there doing footy games and come back yesterday. Had another birthday party at my joint for something different down at Pump.
Whose birthday yesterday?
Oh, Nick's party. So he's had a week-long party like your Kate.
Festival.
He's milking that. It's a good little thing for people to go and do out there down at little push bike thing down at Pump. They do go over jumps and ramps and all that, and kids fall off and smash their elbows and arms and legs, and parents run over to them and say, "You're all right, get back out there."
That's it.
So we had a good weekend. What did you get up to, Dits?
Oh, very quiet.
Celebrated after another Port victory.
Yeah, I loved Saturday on the couch watching Port beat Collingwood. I thought they were pretty good, in all honesty.
Port.
Yeah,
no, they're a contender. Don't worry about that.
So I'll get you to tell us all about it later on this morning. Being a Monday, this one's a little bit different today. Terry McCann, you sent me an article from Melbourne yesterday and said, read this.
Yeah, I was reading the Herald Sun while I was waiting for the flight home, and there's a lot of people not too happy with the South Australian bank levy that Tom Koutsantonis thought was a great idea, and he still thinks it's a great idea. So we'll find out a little bit more about whether it will cost us, as in everyone who uses a bank or has got a bank loan or has got bank shares.
And, Roo, we're going to go all the way to New York and talk to the mob. Now, remember, was it last year or the year before, you and I interviewed at length Michael Franzese, and we actually went to Melbourne and heard him speak, and it was fascinating stuff. We loved it, didn't we?
Well, he was head of one of the biggest crime families in the world.
But his own father had a contract out on him.
He did.
Which is just frightening stuff. Well, his dad, you would have seen this in the paper yesterday, his dad has been released from prison after many, many years. He's 100 years of age.
I reckon he's free to go home now.
I just wonder how Michael's feeling about dad being released. Does the contract still stand?
Well, who knows? This will be an interesting chat. This is a real godfather. This is not Mickey Mouse Mafia.
No.
This is as big as it gets.
Yep, so we're going to cover that this morning. It's Ruined Dits here, thanks to Adelaide Tools.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
6:10, Ruined Dits on this Monday morning. What is making news here and around the world, Roo? Now, this is something, a situation I just hope I'm never, ever in, but an AirAsia flight took off from Perth yesterday, just before 7 a.m, headed for Kuala Lumpur. And an hour and a half into the flight, there's an engine failure. One engine, I believe.
It was rattling a bit. It was actually really vibrating, wasn't it?
Bits were breaking off, I think, and passengers could see this happening, so it was a bit unnerving. And I'll tell you what was even more unnerving was when the pilot comes on and says, "I hope you'll all say a prayer. I'll be saying a prayer too. And let's hope we all get back home safely."
Mr. Pilot,
you and your first, sake, mate, keep your hands on the controls. Keep talking to the tower. Do what you have to do.
Bullshit if you have to.
Don't lie to us through your teeth. Do not start praying.
You're not going to have a second chance of going back and saying you shouldn't have exaggerated our chances of getting back. Just keep us calm.
Yeah. And even if it was an attempt at humour, you don't want that.
How could you? 80 minutes. I saw that plane vibrating. It wasn't like a little bit. It was awful. 80 minutes. You'd be nervous as all hell for that. Yeah. And then your pilot comes on and says, "Say a prayer."
Not what you want to hear.
No, that is not what you want to hear. But at least they got home okay. Unlike an L-plater in Adelaide who decided to go for a bit of a drive last night, about 6:30, went for a drive and lost control, went straight into a bedroom of a house, and luckily didn't hurt anyone, but a lot of the wall ended up over the top of the bed. There was a baby in the room apparently as well.
Car actually hit the bed.
Yeah, hit the bed, yeah. Mm. Went through the wall. He's a 20-year-old man who was behind the wheel, so older than your average L-plater.
Mm-hmm.
But he blew 0.12, which is and truly over the limit. Now, he could have had a very, very long stretch inside the slammer if he'd hurt someone or killed someone there. So,
what if the baby was by the window? Could you imagine?
Just an absolute disaster. Thank God that no one's been hurt. But this lad... He's going to learn a very big lesson there, not to drink and drive.
Let's keep our eyes on that one, because as you know, in recent weeks we've loved some of these sentences handed down by the courts. I just want to see what happens to this fella.
Probably just get 6 months or something like that, Dits. Probably be back.
6 months what?
6 months loss of license, probably like every other one, and you reckon? He'll be happy. Well, he's 20. He's not a minor, so he might be a bit stronger than normal.
Yeah, all right. Christopher Pyne has got on the front foot.
Well, he sort of let it slip a little bit in a bar in Sydney, talking to a group of blokes that we might have to deliver on this gay marriage thing sooner rather than later. So I think a recording of Christopher Pyne speaking to his mates is... got given to Andrew Bolt, your mate Ditz, and he's written a big article on it. So it sounds like the Liberal Party want to actually make this happen, which I think everyone, and we've spoken about it plenty of times.
Get on with
it. Do it.
Yeah.
It's not going to worry majority of people. I don't know why they haven't done it already.
Yeah.
Make them happy. Make more people happy in this world, and it's not going to affect other people.
No.
And everyone can move on and live the life that they want to live.
There you go. Mark Ricciuto has spoken.
That's
Please
it.
Get on
do
with it.
Do it.
Come on.
We don't need a plebiscite for $180 million or whatever it was going to cost to bring that one through, do we? Just do it.
No, that's right. 6:14.
Ruin Dits for breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
6:56 on this Monday morning. We like to throw the phones open,
don't we?
We do. On a Monday for our Monday forum. Let's get to our first caller, shall we, on 133353. Hello, good morning.
G'day, boys. This is John Farnham.
Fancy! Hey! How are you?
Yeah, I'm going well, mate. No, sincerely, I was just talking to Glenn the other weekend. He reckons you got some comp on if you hear a song twice. What's that called, mate?
Oh, it's the
no repeat work day.
Yeah, from 6 a.m. till 6 p.m. If we repeat a song, one of the listeners can ring in and win 10 grand if they catch us out repeating that song.
Yeah, well, Glenn reckons he's listened for 48 hours straight, mate. Yeah, yeah. And he reckons, can you have a competition called the Hear It Once Work Day?
Right.
And maybe play one Farnsy song.
Oh. Yeah, it's probably been a while since we've played one, I suppose.
Well, anyway, that's what he said.
Good idea.
We'll work on that for you.
Thanks, Farnsy. You know, if I was meant to ask him too, he loves North Melbourne, John
Farnsy. Oh, he does. Yeah, he would have been heartbroken.
17th on the ladder they are. Let's go to our next caller. Hello, good morning.
G'day, boys. Long time listener, first time caller.
Who's this?
It's Antonio from Anglevale.
Antonio! There you go.
I listen to you boys all the time. First time I called up. Did you say you're going to be talking to that Michael Francesi?
We're working on it.
The mafia man,
They reckon his old man's getting out.
Yeah,
that worries me, you know. I just want to put a warning out there. I don't know whether anyone knows. His old man's what? He's 100 now.
Yeah. He's 100.
They said he was never going to get out.
Mm.
My old man knew him. He came to Adelaide back in the 70s. My old man, he's dead now. I can't tell you what happened, but he's gone.
Right. Mm.
But, you know, I've heard that he's coming straight back to here to Adelaide, this Michael Francesi's old man.
Yeah. Right.
He had some dealings. He's a bloke. I just want to put the warning out there that he owes a lot. There's a bloke who owes a lot of money. His name's Mario of Wakery.
I just want to
put out the warning.
Right, thanks.
We might have to dump that, I think.
thanks for the warning.
Don't grow your tomatoes, Antonio.
Right, thanks, Antonio. Next caller. Hello, good morning.
Hello, it's Christopher Valpy.
Oh, yeah. Hello, who's that?
It's your mother, Christopher.
All right. This is my mum, Vera. Yes, mum.
Hey, Vera.
How was your weekend, lad?
Yeah, it was good, thank you. Very quiet.
Did you go to the football in Melbourne?
No, I watched it on the TV.
Oh, you watched it on the TV?
In his tracksuit pants.
Yeah.
What, you go down to the pub where we drink?
Yeah, sometimes, yeah.
You watched it at the pub with the boys? You had a couple of pots, did you?
Yeah, I did, yep.
that's good. Now, have you apologised to that Luke McLaughlin?
No, Gillen McLaughlin.
Why do you get on the phone? Just he's only a phone call away. You're insolent, Christopher. Just get on it. You were rude. I heard what happened to you, and I didn't bring you up that way, all right?
Right, sorry, Mum. Right, I'll ring him today, I promise. I have had some negative feedback about that. Kate's not happy either.
That's wonderful, Christopher. Oh,
sorry. Thanks, Mum. Thanks for calling. I love it when... Sounds like Mrs. Doubtfire, my Mum. we got one more call there. Hello, good morning.
Hey, boys.
Who's that?
It's Tex.
Hello, Tex. What's going on?
Seen the ladder?
Yeah, not on top anymore.
Yeah, back to the gag. We've got Greater Western Sydney, Adelaide, Geelong, gag.
Oh, it is just back to right gag.
But you know what?
The way your plan's a gag.
Yeah, did you see my long goal? That was all right.
Yeah.
if they ever get a team in from Tasmania, it can't start with a K. If, you know, the new team starts with the letter K. Because then you could have Western Bulldogs, Adelaide, North Melbourne,
yeah,
and then a team that starts with K. Wouldn't look good on the list.
No, that wouldn't be good either. I can't see a team from Tassie starting with K, to be honest. Oh, I suppose the Kangaroos could be, yeah.
Yeah, Kangaroos, yeah. Yeah. Hey, did you see any mouthguards in the Collingwood-Port Adelaide game? I think there's about three between all of them.
The supporters.
Now, this German bloke up in Harndorf, no, this bloke, he's taken all the German contacts out of his phone in Harndorf.
Yeah.
He wants his phone to be hands-free.
Thanks, Tex. We'll see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, buddy.
Coming up next, hands-free, I like it. 1-3-3-5-3, if you want to win $500, give us a ring now.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Yes. Footy over the weekend. I guess from our point of view, Port Adelaide was the success story, wasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. A good win on the road at the MCG, where you have to play well in September if you're going to win the big one. And speaking of the big one, they've been market movers, Dits. People are now genuinely consider them as a premiership contender now, really coming into the odds, with Melbourne have been heavily backed as well to come into calculations. The Crows are on the slide, and quite rightly so. But let's go back to the MCG. Robbie Gray, one of the most underrated players in the competition outside of South Australia, because we know how good he is here. He's won the last three best and fairest for Port Adelaide. You can't do much more than that. But here's a little montage of some of his good work at the MCG.
Long ball from Dixon inside 50. Ryder to come at it. Good mark in front, Gray.
That's a great mark.
Wingard, who brings it out, pumps it inside 50. Gray, the supreme skill of this man. Look at that. He's got three. Hit the ball at 1,000 miles an hour, ran a mini arc and just went bang.
Both squirted the handball, sold some foot candy, did Sam Gray, got around very nicely, slicing kick up towards the attacking 50. Right in the back by Robbie Gray. Robbie Gray pounces, running towards his fifth goal, got it. Robbie Gray's got five.
Superstar.
Got a handful.
Do you know, Roo, the other thing about him, for his size, just the marking and the body work he does and different things, you know. Yeah, he's
strong.
Very skillful.
He's 6 foot, Robbie Gray.
Yep.
So he's not small, but he's got smaller legs. Low centre of gravity, a bit Peter Daicos-like. But, no, he's a freak, and playing him up forward's been a masterstroke by Ken Hinckley this year.
Yep. You mentioned Melbourne. Their win away in Perth at West Coast, fantastic.
No Hogan, no Watts, no Jones, their captain. So they, I think, are premiership contenders as well. It's going to come down
contenders.
To who plays their best in September, like it did last year. Western Bulldogs were the seventh best side going into September. And
played well for 4 weeks.
And nailed it and won one. So that could happen again this year.
Just a burning question at the moment, Roo. Everywhere I went, to the Alma on Friday with you, and we had a good lunch out there with Luke Hodge, and then ran into people in the street on the weekend. Bottom lips are down. The Crow supporters.
The Crows. I think they're a little bit...
doom and gloom.
This
has been a seven-week slump.
Well, it has been about 7 or 8 weeks.
What's going on?
I don't know. They're very up and down.
Well, have you spoken to the coach? Have you had a bit of a powwow? Is it time to sit down and say,
what's going on? I can't wait to speak to Tex tomorrow. I want him to be genuine with his answers tomorrow, not the, I don't care what everyone thinks sort of stuff.
Mm.
Where's their fight?
Yeah.
You know, like
there's no fight.
Well, there is no fight.
Ooh.
They should have been 8 goals up or 10 goals up at half time.
Say no fight. The game went down to the wire. It's not like they rolled their toes up. And
Well, they kicked 2 goals in the second half. That's not enough, is it?
No.
They didn't have any fight in Melbourne in the second half, and they didn't, there wasn't any fight against North Melbourne in the second half. There's a few second halves that aren't quite what you'd want at the moment.
Front runners?
No, not front runners, but just not... Not won't dig in when they need to. Just doesn't seem like they are capable of playing that different style of footy. You know, the sides, as soon as they put a player behind and they put a bit of pressure on their midfield, they're just not quite getting it done at the moment, the Crowies. So they need to, it's a good test to get it at this time of year. If they can get on top of it and nail it, well, then they'll be perfectly placed for the finals. Because they'll start looking at Port now, very soon now, because they're a contender, and say, well, how do we have to play Port? They'll start looking at Melbourne, say, look, Melbourne have snuck up. How do we beat them? Everyone knows how to beat the Crows at the moment. So if they can get on top of that and fix that and be able to play pretty and tough, well, then they'll be hard to beat in September. The question is, are they good enough? Have they got enough toughness to be able to do that? And I think we'll find that out over the next 6 or so weeks. So we'll hit Tex up about it tomorrow, but you could not possibly put money on the Crows to win the flag at the moment, the way they're playing. I heard KG on the weekend. He's written them off. I haven't written them off, but you wouldn't want to put your last 20 on them, would you, at the moment?
Look, I just finally, for my 2 cents worth, if you look at the back six, fantastic defence Crows have got.
Yeah, but they're
out of form the other night.
They're out of form.
Look at the front six, very good forward line you've got.
But they're out of form.
Yeah, but it's not getting down there either. I think your midfield's the problem.
Midfield weren't too bad the other night.
No.
No, they're okay.
Don't just look at stats. Don't just look at how many times they get it.
I don't look at stats. Don't worry about that.
Well, then the midfield was no good.
They're all no good. You're gone. Crows lift.
I said back six are good, front six are good.
Yeah.
Midfield's
who's out of form in the midfield?
No, they're all getting it, but not much is happening.
Yeah, okay.
That's
No, I'm with you a little bit. They need to lift, and we'll hit Tex up about that tomorrow when he comes in.
Yep, good idea, Roo. There you go. That's Roo's look at the footy over the weekend.
104.7 Triple M.
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious.
Ah! Pressure point. Pressure point.
Ruin Dids. Pressure test.
7:08 on a Monday morning. Let's start off on a positive note, Roo. Let's give away 500.
Why wouldn't we, Dids? Yeah. Why wouldn't we? Let's go to Modbury. G'day, John.
G'day, Roo. How are you?
You had a good weekend, have you?
Yeah, not too bad. The footy was good.
All right. You're barrack for Port, do you?
Yes, I do, mate.
Yeah, I was on a plane with a heap of wharfies coming home from Melbourne yesterday.
Righto.
Giving me a little bit of free advice about things. a little bit confident, the guys. But they're playing good footy, Johnny, aren't they?
Yeah, not too bad, mate, at the moment. Yeah, we're playing all right.
Okay, just trying to keep a lid on it. Hey, what are you up to today?
Just getting ready to go to work, Roo.
Oh, sorry, John. John, we don't like doing it, John, but if you don't listen and realise that you need to explain a little bit more about John, what your work day involves,
John,
you are going to get dong-dong. Let's go to Surrey Downs. G'day, Nathan.
How you going?
Have you learnt from that?
Yep.
What are you doing today?
I'm driving down to Victor Harbour.
Right, you only just get on.
At the moment, you're hanging on by the skinnier teeth.
Probably because we haven't got another caller on the line, otherwise you'd be gone too. Hey, anyway, Nath, let's go. $500, 10 correct answers in 30 seconds to win that money. You ready?
Yep.
Give me 10 animals that are white.
Dogs, cows, cats, rabbits, mice, birds, chickens. Horses, sheep, pig.
No.
Galahs.
Yep.
Yes.
Zebras.
No, what bloke? Right, we're
going. What was the last one he said?
Zebras. Do we have to come back for this?
Go to the adjudicator.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Correct.
We're going to come back on this one, Nate. We're going to do a little bit of research on your galah because there's a sulfur-crested cockatoo and a galah is... Galahs are pink, so we might just go for a break. We'll give you 9 at this stage, but
what's the white one,
a chance
Mitchell
to get it upgraded here.
Yeah,
sulfur-crested cockatoo.
The white one with the yellow.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. Sulfur-crested cockatoo. All right, right.
All right, Nath, you've got a minimum of $90, so we'll come back and let you know.
Righto. So you let Roo run it, it's a shambles. Seriously.
Really?
White animals. I said don't go with white animals. Now look at it. We've got a lawsuit on our hands.
Triple M. Triple M.
7:14, ruined it for breakfast. Terry McCann's waiting on the line, which is very, very important. But before that...
Yes, good news for Nathan from Surrey Downs.
Yeah.
He's a $500 winner because there are white pigs.
Oh, geez.
I didn't know there was white pigs. There's a large white pig breed. things that happen out there.
Know your topic, Roo. If you're going to go something, this is worth $500.
I didn't think there were white pigs.
No.
But I don't know my pigs very well.
No.
I thought you would be able to help me out with that, Dits. but you don't know your picks very well. No, so no. We've given $500 away.
There you go.
All right.
Now let's move on, because this is very important.
This is. This is more than $500. Yeah,
Terry McCrann wrote over the weekend, and you saw this in our papers, the fact that South Australia, now Tom Koutsantonis last week, we had him here in the studio post-budget, his announcements, Roo,
yep.
And it's all about this bank levy.
Yep.
Now, everyone's got a varied opinion. There are varied opinions on this. I sit here thinking, how much is enough for banks to make? I think the super profits they make every year is just way above and beyond what they actually need.
Mm.
And then you raise things like, well, what about our superannuation? What about our shares, et cetera, et cetera? I understand that. So shareholders yep. are happy when the banks make a lot of money. Terry's written over the weekend that it's actually the other states that are going to pay for this in a large way, and they're not too happy. He joins us now from News Limited. Terry McCann, good morning.
Good morning, Chris.
Terry, why will the other states pay?
Well, there's just one big pot of money sitting inside all the banks. There's no, they can't separate out the money that is, well, I suppose they could if they really wanted to go to the trouble of picking out every single customer and separating them depending where they lived or where they did business. But that would make would really make life complicated. So what they are going to do is just pay the South Australian levy out of the pot.
Mm.
Out of the pot, from, you know, if you're the Commonwealth Bank or the CBA or the Westpac, you'd be
yep.
paying it out of your national pot.
Mm-hmm.
And so that means that most of the levy will in fact be paid either by customers in other states or shareholders. And again, it won't just be the South Australian shareholders that cop the bill.
Terry, do you think the federal government should have did the bank levy, and do you think the SA government should have considered it?
Well, you know, the federal government is the big one. The South Australian levy was going to take about $400 million over 4 years. The federal governments are going to take $6 billion over 4 years. I guess I'm in two minds about it. I mean, the basic reality, as Chris indicated, there's a lot of money in the banks and they do make big profits. And
Are their profits too big?
Well, that's a complicated question. I mean, they could probably be a little less, but... the bottom line is we don't want banks to get it to be uncertain. We want to be able to have confidence in our banks. And one of the things about the Australian banks is that nobody has any doubt that their money is safe in the bank.
Yep.
That's not the case in other countries where we've actually seen banks go broke.
Mm.
And at the end of the day, when banks go broke, we have to pay... We, the taxpayer, has to pay basically to bail them out.
Terry, it happened to us here in South Australia. We have had a bank collapse,
exactly.
As you would well remember.
Exactly.
Just on that, and as I say, I tend to think they do make super profits, and I always ask the question, how much do you really need to make? But you're right what you point out. If we go back to the GFC, it was about the US banks collapsing,
Lehman
wasn't
Brothers,
it? And we're told that even through the GFC, our banks came through with flying colours.
Absolutely.
So I guess that's a great thing.
It wasn't just the US banks, it was also most of the banks in Europe were in deep trouble. So, and that cost they ended up costing the taxpayers in Europe and in the US a lot of money. And so it's better, I mean, the only thing worse than a bank that's making too much money is a bank that's not making enough.
Get somewhere in the middle, you banks. Hey, do you think the other states, what will they do? If SA get away with it, if they do get away with it, the other states will probably go, well, geez, if they're getting away with it, I might have a crack myself.
Well, only WA's put its hand up and says it might follow. And obviously, WA is another state that needs the money after the collapse of the mining boom. Victoria, Queensland and New South Wales and Tasmania have basically ruled it out. But that's a politician promising not to do something.
Yeah, very good. Yeah. Terry, the other part of this is that the other states clearly are speaking out against South Australia, and they're talking about the common thing that keeps coming through is, well, South Australia will close down as a state. No one will go there and do business. Jobs will be lost. I mean, is that a reality, do you think?
Well, there are two things about that. One, obviously, if you're going to make a choice, and we saw that with Bank South Australia, make a choice about where you locate business, you might decide that you won't locate it in South Australia. But I think this is less of an issue for South Australia than electricity prices and reliability. You want to be able to turn the lights on first, then you might think about whether you're going to have to pay tax. But the second point to be made about this is that it might end up backfiring, because the way that they sit down and allocate the GST, They might decide, oh, well, you're getting another $400 million from your state tax base.
That's
we'll
right.
take it out of your GST allocation.
Gee, that's a good point,
because we're already
too.
Getting more than our share there, much more.
Yep. Nah, food for thought there, Terry. Thanks so much for joining us.
Good guys.
There you go.
Morning, Terry.
Terry McCran, as I said, you read his articles in the Tyzer and the Sunday Mail here in South Australia.
Ruined Dits for breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
BT's Vault has been a staple for the Triple M rub on Saturday afternoons for about a couple of months now. Been a very funny segment. They found a box of BT's tapes back in his early days of working at a sports station, 3UZ, I think it was, and he interviewed a few people. He was a bit green. It was very, very funny, and here's another one from The Vault.
A big name in 1991, the Indian captain Muhammad Azharuddin one-on-one with our man.
5 seconds, Muhammad Azharuddin. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Azharuddin.
Welcome back to 3Z, the good sports. Well, the first test kicks off this Friday up in Brisbane. On the line now, we have the skipper of the Indian team, Muhammad Azharuddin. Good morning to you, Muhammad.
Good morning.
You are looking for a strong performance. I guess your lead-up hasn't been exactly what you ordered in the fact that many of your bowlers and batsmen haven't struck form yet, but you'd be looking for a change of form come Friday.
Yeah, sure.
How does this team compare with the strong Indian combinations of recent years?
It's a very good sign, you know. We've got youth and experience as well.
What about, I mean, how's Team Morale at the moment? I mean, we know that we're going to expect better things of the Indians come the Test series, of which they're much more adapted to playing. Yeah. But, I mean, how's morale going?
Oh, it's very good, yeah.
What about Kapil Dev? I mean, his form, you'd be pretty pleased with that?
Yeah, he's doing well, yes.
And, I mean, what do you find is perhaps the thing that's not going well for India at the moment, the batting or the bowling?
I think you've not been doing well in both aspects.
What about yourself, the skipper, extra burden? You're finding it a bit of a load to carry?
No, not really.
Okay, well, we've been speaking with the skipper of the Indian cricket side, and as you can tell, he's in a bit of a hurry to get away, so we'll have to let him go now. Muhammad Azharuddin, thanks for your time.
Thank you very much.
Oh, come on. To be fair, not Bristol's sweet spot cricket.
Wow.
I do love the house team morale. They haven't played a test match yet. The series hasn't started.
How's Kapil Dev going?
Good.
Yeah, he really softens him up, doesn't he? You've basically been terrible, you're batting and you're bowling.
Which bit aren't you happy with? Batting or the bowling? Or both?
And then he goes, he's giving him nothing for 10 minutes. He goes, oh, we can tell he's in a bit of a hurry.
what we thought we'd do. Oh, it's a liquid gold.
Look, that's my new favourite.
Liquid gold. Pretty expansive answers from Muhammad. Yeah. So we thought we'd bump them all together. Have a listen to the answers out of that interview.
Morning. Yeah, sure. It's a very good sign. You know, he's got youth and experience as well. Oh, it's very good. Yeah, he's doing well, yes. I think you've not been doing well in both aspects. No, not really. Thank you very much.
That was it.
And again, Damo, some beautifully positioned. All right. So on the same day, by the way, Bristol, you must have had a bloody good producer, because that's a good get. Yeah, leading into the first test,
we did.
To get the Indian captain prior to the first test is a good get. Same thing can't be said about this lady, Tammy Coughlan.
5 seconds. Tammy Colco. With me now on 3Z The Good Sports, I have one of Australia's... No, start again. 5 seconds, Tammy Colco. With me now on 3Z The Good Sports, I have the fastest female beach sprinter in Victoria. Last week, she won the beach sprint event at the Victorian Lifesaving Championships and also took home another gold medal in the relay. She'll be competing in the Australian titles in Perth next week. Representing the Portsea Surf Lifesaving Club, I welcome Tammy Colclo. How are you, Tammy?
Well, thank you, Brian.
Well, Tammy, I know that you actually trained quite hard for the state titles, and considering that previously you'd failed in that event, it must have been a great relief and a great honour to win.
I was so excited. I couldn't believe it at first. And I was wrecked.
Previously, you'd failed in that event.
Jeez. He hits him between the eyes, doesn't he?
Oh, you've got to soften him up a bit. You can't go straight after him. I like Tammy as well. Very excited to be on the 3Z The Good Sports. Thank you, Brian.
Be
beach sprinter. Victoria's number one beach sprinter back in the day. Oh, I tell you
must
what,
have been just filling my spot.
I thought Nadia Comaneci was my favourite. I think Mohamed Azharuddin has now surpassed it.
Yep. The bit with Mohamed I love the most is you could tell Brian's going, well, I've just about run out of any questions I've got for you. How's Kapil Dev going? Yeah.
Just plucked him out.
He was the only one I knew.
The superstar.
Oh, there you go, PT on the weekends.
Far out. That is just brilliant stuff.
In the moment, Roo, we're going to open our phones up for our Monday forum.
Oh, yeah.
And then national journalist with all things business and finance, Terry McCann, has written a scathing article about South Australia and...
They're not happy in the state, the banks, I can tell you.
They reckon they're going to... I didn't realise this. Very good. They will pay, they reckon. The interstaters will pay for Tom Coutts and Tonis's idea about levying our banks here
they
in Adelaide.
They were potting SA in Victoria yesterday.
Oh, well, that's the first, isn't
it? Different.
Yeah, Roo and Dits here on Triple M.
Roo and Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
7:43, ruined its thanks to Adelaide Tools on this Monday morning. A bit gloomy out there over Adelaide.
We are due for a bit of rain. There's a bit of rain around for the next few days. So come on, God, Mother Nature.
We need it.
Rain on our farmers, because if they don't get the next 2 weeks, they're stuffed.
Now, Roo, last night had the wag come up for dinner.
Oh, that's nice.
Because her mum's in town.
Ooh.
And when you meet mum... Boy, you understand where Wag came from. Where
really?
Oh, yeah.
Is she listening now, Dits?
I don't hope not. Yeah.
I reckon she probably would be.
Mm.
So just...
talk about chip off the old block.
Yeah?
Mm.
Dumb comments?
Anyway, we got talking about some, as you do, dinner conversation. I don't know how it came up, but getting locked out of the house. And we all had a story to tell. And,
yep.
It took me back because the Wag gets locked out all the time. That's how it came up. The Wag got locked out, and recently she was down walking the dog on the beach and had to ask a lady sitting in her car on Glenelg Beach if she could borrow her phone, and the lady said no. So Wag couldn't. Wag was trying to ring
she
Joel, the McGarry medalist, and say, but I'm locked out, I need help, and the woman went no.
Nah.
So in the end,
use a payphone.
She had to talk through the window. The woman said, well, I'll hold the phone, but you need to talk at the phone from where you are.
What, she thought she was going to knock
obviously,
it off.
Looks a bit dodgy, the Wag.
Yeah, right.
But happened to me years ago. So we all started telling our stories. Mm. And anyway, when my kids were little, Roo, my boys were 7 and 3.
Mm.
And we're all in bed together because our little used to like to sleep with Dad. And we'd been broken into recently.
Oh, anyway, that's no good.
Tom, the oldest, he's 7. He goes, Dad, there's someone outside. I heard a noise. And I went, no, there's not, mate. Go back to sleep. No, Dad. And they're scared. He said, I can't sleep, Dad. There's someone outside. Righto, Tom, I'll get up and have a look. So I go outside, sleeping in my jocks. And it's midnight. It is freezing.
Oh,
I'm outside.
No.
And I look around, and Tom and Jack are right up my backside. They're that close to me. So they're so scared. And I look back, and I said, Tom, did you just pull the door shut? He went, yes, Dad. Right, okay. So we're out here now. So three of us in our jocks.
Middle of the night. Freezing cold.
Yep. And I've got nothing. Starkers. Obviously, I haven't got pockets. I haven't got a phone on me. I haven't got money. I haven't got anything. So I've had to knock on the neighbour's door.
Oh, no.
There's three of us in our undies. Yeah. Oh, undies.
That's all right.
And I didn't know them. And I've said, look, any chance we could come in and use your phone? And I've told the story. And this couple are sitting there. I said, all right, so get the yellow pages out. I'm sitting in this couple's lounge room in my jocks with Tom and Jack. And
would you ring a locksmith in the middle of the night?
Yeah.
And they're open, are they?
No, they're not, funnily enough, but it was an emergency. And by the way, ka-ching, ka-ching.
Oh, you got absolutely
but
rolled.
This poor couple just sat there. And I reckon we waited an hour and a half.
So they made a cup of tea?
Nothing. It was just horrible. And I didn't mind. I felt so bad. And in the end, I remember saying, look, thank you. You helped us. We'll go and wait outside. And they said, no, you can't do that.
Can't do that.
Stay here. But it was horrendous. It was terrible. It was awful.
You've been locked out, Mel?
Yeah, I had a horrific one a couple of years ago. Very long story. I'll tighten it up.
Tighten it right up.
So Danny and I were going out for dinner quite early, and he always takes the keys. I never even think about it. He always
it's a man's
has
job.
Keys. Mm. I don't think that, but he particularly always has them in the pocket. So I just walked out, pulled the door shut, and he said, I didn't realise we were leaving. I was putting the bins out. So he didn't have the keys.
Ooh.
So I called the number for our real estate agent that we were renting and thinking, it's not that big a deal. It's about 6 p.m. He can drop the keys out or I'll pay for a cab. We will go there.
Yep, get the spare keys.
I'll pay for whatever you need to get the spare keys. Didn't call me back for a couple of hours.
Mm.
When he finally did, the tone was very much, how's this my problem?
Oh, no.
Is this my fault? Is
and
it
this
my
was
fault?
The person's job.
Well, it's the rental property manager.
That's right.
And I said, well, so a bit of to and fro there. He said, well, you can either, you've got three options. He said, you can break a window and then get that repaired, or you can get a locksmith, which as Dit said, very expensive. Or he said, you can come and see me tomorrow.
Right.
And then he hung up on me.
So none are really attractive.
No. So we ended up staying, I don't know if you've driven past it, a little motel on Portrush Road.
You stayed in a motel?
Well,
because this bloke wouldn't come out with the keys.
Well, it's cheaper than getting a locksmith, and we could get the keys the following
day. At least you had a night out.
Yeah, we were really happy about it too.
Oh, gee.
Oh, so I just... But I did force his boss to get him to call and apologise to me.
Oh, well. Mm-hmm. And he did?
He did.
Oh, well, so he should have.
And I said I didn't accept it.
Doesn't sound like he was very helpful.
Oh. Hey, 133353, when have you been locked out? You had an incident recently.
I might have slept in the caravan a couple of months ago. But you know what the stupid thing about that is? I've actually... When I did a reno on the house, I put a keypad on one of the doors on the side of the house, so you can never get locked out.
So you forgot?
Well, I had a few drinks and I forgot I had it already done that, so I could have got straight in.
This is the day that you were weeing nude on the front lawn.
It was after another business lunch at the Yammer where I drank mid-strength all day and then thought I'll try some red wine for
a bit. Why not? Hey, 133353, when were you locked out? Tell us about it. We have got a double to one of the big games now of the year. Port Adelaide Richmond this Saturday.
In the top four, aren't they?
Saturday, 7:10 PM. Hey, thanks to the Port Adelaide Footy Club for the tickets as well. Go to portadelaidefc.com.au. When were you locked out? 133353.
104.7 Triple M.
7:53.
When have you been locked out? Let's go to Para Hills. G'day, Trev.
G'day, boys. How you going, all right?
Good. When are you being knocked out, mate?
All right. It was Anzac Day morning, about 3 o'clock in the morning. I used to work afternoon shift, and I just come back from my mate's house, and I was in my old XF Falcon, and I blew a tyre on a Salisbury Highway, so I decided to check it out. Didn't have a mobile phone back then. It was back in the early 2000s. And the door shut on me, car running, flat tyre, locked out of my own car on Salisbury Highway, 3 o'clock in the morning.
What happened next?
So, I know I was busting for a leg too.
You could have done. I reckon you would have solved that issue.
No, I didn't. I was a bit worried. Anyway, I've hailed down this first. The first car I saw was about 10 minutes later. A group of like teenagers, about, I don't know, 16, 17, and on their peds, right? And they were probably like sussing me out thinking, who's this guy? And I was lucky because one of them lived just up the road, about a couple hundred metres up the road on a side street. And he came out with his house phone and it just had range enough to call RAA.
Oh, well done. Well, good ending there for you, Trev.
That frustrated, locked out of your car would be frustrating on the side of the road,
And what happened to you, Mandy?
Oh, hello. I got locked in the bathroom.
Locked in the bathroom?
Yes. We had a dodgy door handle, and we've got one of those three-way bathrooms. And I was in there with the, because I had two little ones, and I was in there with the baby. He was on like a little bassinet thing. And my eldest one came in and shut the door behind him. And so we were just locked in the little shower part of the bathroom. And I thought, oh, how am I going to get out of here? And so, because we have window locks, so I couldn't climb out the window.
So what'd you do?
So I got a shower bottle, and I could just open the door, the window just slightly, and I kept banging on the shower window for the neighbour who was quite close to that window. I kept shouting, help, 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 let me out, get me out. And eventually, they rang the fire brigade. Yes, it was a bit embarrassing.
And you would have been pretty well dressed when the fire brigade came around too.
Yeah, thank God there was towels in there.
Good on you, Mandy.
Well done, Mandy.
All right, well, happy ending. Let's go to South Plimpton. G'day, Daniel.
How you going, boys?
Where are you locked out?
I went to work one morning, realised my house keys are in my car, so trying to get the house keys out of the car. Lock the car keys in the house and the house keys in the car.
Well, you deserved it. If you stuff up twice, you got to pay the price.
No, well done, Daniel. Sean at Morford Vale. G'day, Sean.
G'day, boys. How are you?
Good, Sean. Thanks. What happened to you?
I was out one night with a couple of boys, designated driver, took everyone home, and on my way home, thought I needed to stop and use the trees to go to the toilet. Mm. And realised I left my wallet, my phone and my keys in the car, and I hopped to the door, stuck out. So I went for a walk up the servo, asked him if I could borrow the phone. He said no. So I decided to go back to the car, and I got a paver off the side of the road and broke the back window, got in the car, and realised I had the keys in my pocket.
Oh, no! Sean!
Don't ever be the designated driver ever again. Sure.
Yeah, I know, mate. I know. It's a shocker.
Let's go to Glenelg. G'day, George.
G'day, boys. How are you?
When did you lock yourself out?
Well, I left Adelaide to Sydney on a business trip, and as you do when you're entertaining a few clients, I ended up going out to about 3 a.m. in the morning, had an absolute skin full of booze, got back to my hotel room. I was feeling a bit loose, so I went to bed, and I sleep naked. So... there I am, dozing off to sleep. The room's spinning. I think I hear a knock at the door. I go to the door. I walk out, and the door locks behind me. And here I go, Joel, absolutely starkers. But then I'm a naked man loose in the hotel. My decision-making ability wasn't real great. And I ended up finding a door of a colleague, and to his surprise, I was presented at his door naked. He let me in. Eventually, he found me back to my hotel room.
Beautiful. It's a shocking feeling, Dix. You would have done that. I've done it. I think most blokes who've stayed in hotels enough have done that. It is a horrible feeling when that happens, when you hear the click.
Yeah, Daniel, who was 2-0 down, he'd locked it twice, and Sean, who had to smash his window and the keys were in his pocket. Who did you like?
I'll go with the double. When you've stuffed up twice in one day, Sean.
Daniel, you're off to the footy. It's a big game. Port Adelaide, Richmond. We've got a double for you in the tickets thanks to portadelaidefc.com.au.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
104.7 Adelaide's Triple M. Ruined Dits for Breakfast. Rue, if we go
back... You know
back,
why they built the new Women's and Children's Hospital, don't you? It's nothing to do with the old one being tired. It's just not big enough.
The power blackout.
The blackout.
Yes.
Last September, early October, we had the big blackout. This whole state didn't have power.
The whole state was rocking.
The whole state was rocking, all right. It wasn't because of the thunderstorm that caused the blackout.
No. They're saying a baby boom.
Yeah, a little mini one.
Right now.
Little mini one.
Happens to be 9 months since that night.
The lights were out, but there was still plenty of stuff going on in the bedroom or the beanbag.
Who said nothing? And I'll come back to that. Who said nothing happens in South Australia?
Yeah.
The whole state was at it.
We breed.
Come on.
We breed. what else can you do? After you've played a game of cards.
Ever since that night, Rue, yes, I did slide the beanbag up against the fire because all we had going was the open
That's
fire.
That's dangerous, Dits.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Does that add to the excitement of it? You can get your bum burnt.
You can singe the hairs on your bum. Have we gone too far here?
No.
Anyway.
Well, you need to do that.
Since then, of course, I had the idea that maybe the power should go out a bit more often. And wouldn't you know it, there's a padlock now on the power box.
Oh, no. Yeah. What, Kate's put it on?
Yeah, well, someone has. Anyway, well done to all the baby boomers out there as a result of the blackout. Well done.
Congratulations.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Rue, the Bali bombings, every time we mention that, we know which ones we're talking about because it's something near and dear to our hearts here in Adelaide in South Australia.
Sure is.
We talk about the Sturt Football Club who lost three of their members on an end-of-season trip, and so tragic. So that's why it's near and dear to us when we read about perhaps people fronting court or facing court. Mm. 15 years ago this happened, and would you believe there have been major revelations about this over the weekend. We can find out more now. The lady who's all over this, chief reporter for the Miami Herald at Guantanamo, is Carol Rosenberg, and she joins us now. Carol, good morning.
Good morning, Chris.
Carol, after 15 years, we're hearing that a gentleman called Ham Bali is facing or about to face court in connection with these bombings. And I have to admit, personally, I don't know about you, Rue, but this is the first time I've heard this fellow's name.
Yep.
Carol, what's been happening over the 15 years with him?
He's been at Guantanamo for about 10 of them, and then for the previous 3 years, he was in a secret CIA prison called a black site, which is probably why you didn't hear of him. They picked him up in I think it was Thailand, and rushed him off to some CIA black sites to interrogate him to find out what he knew about Al-Qaeda and other terror plots, and he was just disappeared. So it's not a big surprise that you hadn't heard of him, But 10 years ago, they brought him to Guantanamo. President George Bush said, take them there and charge them. There were 14 men. And they've just gotten around to writing the charges against this Hanbali now. Right. And he is accused of that Bali bombing in 2000.
So American officials picked him up in Thailand. How would they have done that? Just from, what, phone taps and, you know, or internet searches or something like that? Is that how it would have happened? Or
so if you remember after our September 11th attacks in 2001, there was a fairly desperate search around the globe by U.S. and other intelligence to find what they call sleeper cells, people who had been trained in Afghanistan to carry out similar to 9/11 attacks, the hijackings that knocked down the buildings in New York and the Pentagon in the U.S., killing almost 3,000 people. And the CIA and other intelligence agencies went scouring the earth. And they found this fellow, Hanbali, in a joint operation with Thai officials because he had been, they had been led to him as one of the people who was in the inner circle of affiliates with Osama bin Laden. This was the allegation. This is the allegation. And they took these people off, these men off, about 100 of them over in the early years, to these secret CIA prisons. And as the defense attorneys would call it, they tortured them. Some were waterboarded. And they were not looking to find justice. They were not looking to put them on trial. They were not looking to charge them with crimes. They were looking to find out what they knew about other pending attacks. And in the process, somehow Hanbali's name comes up. That's his nom de guerre, you could say, his nickname. He's a Indonesian man. Mm-hmm. And they rolled him up. He was thought to be, I think over there you call him Southeast Asia's Osama bin Laden.
Right.
So this is something I learned from you folks. We see him as the leader of this Islamic group, Jamaat Islamiyah, over in Southeast Asia that was carrying out anti-Western attacks. And around our September 11th attacks, he got closer, certainly, the charges allege, to bin Laden and al-Qaeda. And he sent would-be bombers to al-Qaeda training camps in Afghanistan and said, teach them how to bomb.
Okay.
And if you read the charge sheet, it seems that graduates of that program, it seems that what they're trying to say is graduates of that program dispatched by Hanbali to Afghanistan are tied to the Bali bombing.
Now, if we go back to the time of the bombings, here, and as I said in the intro, that it's very close to us here in South Australia. We lost people involved in this. Over 200 people died at the time. I think there were 3 bombings in total. But in 2008, you know, 3 of the people involved, the one I remember in particular, I see his face all the time, is Imam Samudra. They called him the smiling assassin at the time, who was always grinning and smiling, which was just terrible. It was like rubbing our faces in it. But these gentlemen were executed back in 2008. And that's why I'm surprised to hear of this fellow, because from what you've written, Carol, it would appear that he was above them. He was like their boss, the mastermind.
Correct. I mean, I think that what happened is the people who were captured and, as you say, I guess executed, were operators. There were people who were closer to the actual suicide bombers, or in some instances, people who placed the bombs, were convicted of taking the bombs. They were in Bali. I don't think that there's any charge at this moment that Hanbali, as it happens, was in Bali at the time of the attack.
Right.
He would be more like, well, I don't want to, the CEO of this organization, Jamaat Islamiyah. You know, there's another guy, a fellow at Guantanamo, who's pleaded guilty to carrying money from Pakistan to Southeast Asia for Hanbali to be used in a different attack on an American hotel. And so he's seen as, I know they like people like to say the mastermind, but certainly the leader of a cell over the cell.
Yeah. Carol, interesting article and great information. Thank you so much for sharing it with us. Carol Rosenberg is the chief reporter at Guantanamo for Miami's Herald, the newspaper over there.
Sounds like he's where he needs to be.
Yeah.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
104.7 Adelaide's Triple M Ruined Dits for Breakfast. Roo, today is June 26.
It is. It's the end of financial year, your last week to get yourself organised. And when I say organised, not just for the end of season, end of financial year booze up that you have in your office or whatever.
Right.
Get your finances in order before it's too late.
Last minute things we can claim and all those sorts of things.
Yeah, or things you have to put in money into super. Let's get a very experienced guru in the world of investments and tax, the barefoot investor, Scotty Pope. Good morning, Scotty.
Good morning, guys. Can I just say that this is the 1 week that I am relevant. 51 weeks in the year, no one gives a crap about me.
Yeah.
But I'm like Santa Claus, right?
Yep.
1 week. This is like my grand final. But look, what I would say to people, that I want to focus on a couple of big things. So the first one is I know we've got a lot of small business owners that are driving to work. The lead up to June 30 this week, if you're a small business owner and you want to buy some tools or some equipment, you might want to do it this week. And that's because small businesses are able to instantly write off purchases under 20 grand. So if you're a cafe owner and you've been thinking about getting a new coffee machine, you might want to do it. If you're a tradie, you might want to do it to buy some new tools.
Now, yep.
A few rules here. Number one, it doesn't have to be brand new, right? So you can buy secondhand. And in fact,
is that
really
right?
Really tinny smart business owners, small business owners, who actually go to Gumtree and actually look to buy something cheaper.
That's Second incredible.
Thing, no limit. So each item's got to be under 20 grand, but there's no limit as to how many items you can do. And
wow.
Then the third one is, of course, when it comes to anything to do with tax, just make sure you actually need it rather than shelling out your hard-earned to just get, 30 cents in the dollar back or thereabouts.
Yeah, because it doesn't make much business sense, does it, other than having something else to play with?
Correct. Now, the other one, just for people who aren't small business owners, let's talk about superannuation. What the government has done over, basically since the 90s, since they first came out, every year it seems they make it just a little bit harder to actually get money in super or get it out.
Mm.
And that's the case this financial year. So if you're over 50, you can put in pre-tax 35 grand. If you're under 50, 30 grand pre-tax. That's changing next financial year to $25,000.
Right.
So effectively what that means is that instead of paying in the top rate of tax, which, it could be nearly 50 cents on the dollar thereabouts, you can actually salary sacrifice some money into super and only pay 15 cents the dollar. So
yep.
What I would be suggesting everyone do, if you've got a bit of extra dough, call your super fund, work out how much money you can actually put in and either make a pre-tax contribution or an after-tax contribution. Always good to max out your super around about this time of the year.
Scott, what is the thinking here with the government at reducing this right now? I thought they wanted all of us to be self-sufficient when we retired. Any idea why they're bringing this... what can I call it, the threshold down?
Because they're greedy bastards.
Yeah.
And they know that the wealthiest people are going to look for tax deductions, and they're probably pretty much sorted. And yet it's the people that don't have a lot of money in super that will continue being on the pension. So the government can't help themselves from stuffing around with the laws of super. All it does is make it really complex. But on the advantage, it makes me my 1 week of the year. It makes me feel pretty good because
yeah,
they completely bamboozle it. Other thing, finally, if you want to claim a tax deduction, and my favourite tax deduction is a tradie who claimed the cost of his dog food and vet bills, and it went right up to the top of the ATO, and they said, hang on, how are you claiming this? And he said, well, he sits on the back of my ute and he guards my tools. The tax commissioner said,
security.
Well played, sir.
Got to feed the guard, dog.
You got to make sure they're real, that your boss didn't reimburse you. You make sure that they're related to your business. Or to earning an income. And third thing, you've got to keep a record. So that's what you've got to do in this financial year, boys.
All right. And maybe next week, just for something different as well, a bit of entertainment, find us an accountant with a sense of humour, if you could, or a personality.
Well, the whole thing about being an accountant, 90% of it is just beating back the girls. That's the whole thing of being an accountant.
Yeah, they're busy.
Good on you, Scott. Thanks for that, mate.
Thanks, boys.
Scott Pape, the barefoot investor. Good advice.
Don't miss a minute of Ruined Dits for Breakfast on the Catch Up podcast. For Adelaide Tools, with 5 locations, Paraka, Lonsdale, St Mary's, Gawler and Mile End. Or go online at adelaidetools.com.au.